We're back on the Florida Roundup here on WLRN talking transportation for the whole program on this getaway holiday weekend. Back in February, 7.5 million rides were taken on public trains and buses in Miami-Dade. That was almost 10% fewer than a year earlier, though. 2.7 million riders were taken on Broward County buses, also a 10% drop from last year. Palm Beach County, a similar fall off as well. In 2016, while the three-county population rose by 87,000 people and almost 120,000 more people were working in the three-county region, public transit usage fell. The trend comes as regional efforts to build out public transportation have deepened. Miami-Dade has its SMART plan to expand Metrorail along six new lines, but public transit only represents about 1.5% of all the trips that we take. For better or worse, it's cars and trucks and SUVs and vans and motorcycles and scooters that we use to get around. So what's the impact of Uber and Lyft on public transit? And are cars still the right way to focus on transportation and mobility? What about the promise of driverless cars? Transportation all this hour now, 800-743-9576. Line those phone calls up for us, 800-743-9576. Our three transportation officials from the counties with us in just a moment. Doug Hanks covers county politics and government for our partner, the Miami Herald. Doug, first of all, your thoughts on Tuesday's traffic paralysis and what it is illustrative of for us.
You know, what struck me is, listen, when a major road is shut down, there's going to be a problem, obviously. But, you know, all those people were in their cars. They weren't taking a rail. They weren't taking a bus. You know, there is certainly a car mentality in every major city, and this is one of them. That's what happens when something goes wrong with the road.
Yeah, yeah, in one particular road. Alice Bravo is the Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works chief with us here. Alice, what are your thoughts on what happened Tuesday here 72 hours later?
You know, I think when you look at us as a major city, we have the issues that every major city has and that all of our roadways are basically over capacity. There's so much demand. And that demand is so high because if you look around when you're stuck in traffic, there's pretty much only a single person in every single car. So this is the least efficient way to use our roadway infrastructure, you know. And so when you have a system that's so oversaturated, any little thing can just cause a major shutdown.
And while serious for the three families involved with the fatalities here, and again, understandable why you would want law enforcement to investigate this kind of thing, less than a four-mile stretch closed down for 4 hours and better part of two counties really in paralysis, in part because, as you mentioned, we're a one-car commuting culture. And that is getting worse with those public transportation ridership figures. What do you account for the drop in ridership?
Well, the issue nationally usually means that as the price of gasoline drops, now more people can afford to have a car. And what that means is that the people riding transit, for the most part, are people that can't afford to have a car. You know, if we're going to have true mobility, we need people that even have cars choose to leave them at home and use the public transportation. And then you have options. And so that's what the SMART plan, Strategic Miami Area Rapid Transit Plan, is all about. Planning for the future, creating those options so everyone doesn't see as the car as their only option.
Does the drop in public transit in Dade County concern you for the potential for future investment?
Well, what's concerning is, you know, we're doing lots of promotions and we're bringing a lot of innovation, applications, things that provide incentives for people to use transit. And so ultimately what we need to get the word out is that transit can help you save time. For example, if you can take the Metrorail as part of your commute to downtown Miami, you can shave off half an hour from your travel time if you were otherwise in your car. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people tell you, I haven't used transit because I haven't really thought about it. Well, we have an app where you can plan your trip and see if it works for you.
Let's go north to Broward County. Greg Stewart is with us on the telephone. He heads up the Broward Metropolitan Planning Organization. Greg, first of all, let me just get your thoughts on this this traffic issue that happened on Tuesday with the Julia Tuttle Causeway closed for the police investigation. It spilled up into your neck of the woods, into Broward County.
And that's not uncommon, you know, when you have that type of an emergency situation happen and roads closed, it's a redesignation of where people are going, and then you'll end up having that type of backup.
So, in other words, it we have seen this before, no doubt about it, but does it show this continued vulnerability of our system when a relatively small stretch of highway, and frankly, 10, 12, 15 miles from the county border, means that cars are sitting and waiting in your jurisdiction.
And again, you have to look at it from, we have limited number of expressways, we have limited number of accesses between, you know, both counties, and when you have that type of emergency situation, I mean, it's resilient enough that after the, you know, situation cleared, it drained very quickly, the traffic drained. So, you know, that's just showing that the system is actually working. You can't really design a roadway network or a transportation system to the most critical thing that'll happen, like you're going to have two expressways closed at once. I mean, it would cost us billions of dollars more if we were to be designing our facilities in that way.
Let me ask you the public transit question that Alice just spoke about in Dade County. You've seen a similar kind of drop-off on your usage in buses in Broward County, 10% drop year over year in the past monthly figures. Why is that?
A lot of that is, you know, the economy is improving. Folks are actually getting into ownership or leasing vehicles again. I mean, our number of vehicles on the roadway network is actually increasing. There's also another unique thing that, you know, was not the case the last economic cycle, where, you know, we saw transit drops because of economic prosperity. And that was the advent of Uber and Lyft, you know, the ride-sharing services. What we're beginning to start seeing is people are relying on that. I actually sit on the board of directors of a smaller shuttle system for the city of Fort Lauderdale, and we're starting to see drops as well. And so I've been a ghost rider on a couple of our vehicles, and I met this woman that lives in Gulf Ocean Mile in mid-60s, and she's retired. She doesn't own a vehicle. She chose not to buy one, and she was on the trolley system, and I was with her, and we were talking, and she's going to Publix. Get out at Publix, so she's getting off. I said, I'll see you back on the way back. And she goes, no, I'm going to take Uber back. And I said, do you mind if I ask you why? And she said, yeah, I don't want my ice cream to melt. So, I mean, and as funny as that sounds, it's just the change in the way we're looking at transportation and mobility. And so we're going to have to be able to offer a variety of services for people. You know, she's not planning on buying a car anytime soon. She just didn't want to. She can, but she could. And then those folks that have gotten to the point where they can buy cars, they're doing it. So that's the drop-off you're seeing.
Yeah,
the ice cream factor
in this case.
Yeah. Publix ice cream, by the way.
There you go.
There's a plug for them.
Valerie Nielsen is with the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization. She's with us on the telephone as well. Valerie, let's put it to Palmtran. Again, a similar drop-off in public transit. Is it the same type of car culture and use of Uber and low gas prices that you're attributing this to in your neck of the woods?
Yes, I agree. And I also, you know, in our county, Palmtran hasn't seen a redesign of their system in 20 years. So that's something that they're going to be working on over the next year. Looking at the conversation of choice riders versus coverage. So when I say that, you have a limited amount of resources, and are we going to try and reach every point of the county at all times and, you know, stop in front of everyone's house? Or are we going to make an attractive and convenient system that's reliable and it's more direct service with transfers that make sense? So that's a conversation that's going to be looked at soon. So, you know, people are really looking at convenience and access to transit as well. So, you know, we're working closely with Palmtran, trying to connect those sidewalks, trying to connect those bicycle facilities so that people can actually access transit as well, and trying to upgrade the transit system as well. We're doing a US 1 multimodal corridor study that's 42 miles long, and it's currently the highest ridership route in Palm Beach County, but, you know, people don't really, you know, the buses look the exact same. The stop might be a pole in the ground, so we are looking at upgrading that and making it more attractive, you know, having dedicated enhanced bus stops, having dedicated service. So
Doug Hanks with the Miami Herald, we've heard this, so what Valerie's talking about with Palmtran in Palm Beach County, we've heard it in Dade and Broward, more comfortable stops, for instance, for buses, maybe fewer stops on some routes, or more active dynamic routing, talking about bus stops with shelter, with a roof over it to create some shade. We've seen and had conversations about this over the years.
Well, and Alice is you know, Alice is dealing with this now. She has less money to spend on buses. But, you know, we did a story on what people complain about in buses, and it was not comfort. It was, where's the bus? You know, this bus is not where it's supposed to be. And this, I base my schedule on it. Now, the county has this sort of app now where you can track the bus, which is helpful. But, you know, it seems to me that Miami-Dade is dealing with an aging fleet that it has to pay to replace and higher labor costs, and it's just getting harder and harder to get these buses where they're supposed to be, which is, you know, we had this great article a couple weeks ago on the hotel housekeeper who takes her 2 hours on a bus to get across the county.
Right.
And, you know, this is people's lives depends on public transportation that everyone subsidizes.
You know, and I think it's important when we talk about subsidy, somebody who's driving in their car, they're subsidizing their entire trip, the car, they are the driver, the gasoline, the insurance, the repairs, and they're paying for the roadway either through tolls or gas tax.
Right. And in some cases, they're paying for the bus and the trains through gas taxes too.
But on top of that, they're subject to these huge delays. And so someone who leaves their house purposely 2 hours earlier because they don't know what traffic congestion they're going to encounter, you know, I think the benefit to society, the savings that we would get from better utilizing that time, we're better off subsidizing transit.
According to Texas A&M, in Miami, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County, drivers waste 52 hours per year per commuter sit in traffic, costing us $1,169 in burned gasoline and lost productivity time.
And that's a national average. So if we looked at our specific situation, and we have people that commute 20 or 30 miles every day, those numbers are more severe.
Would you believe that according to the Census Bureau, the average commute time in Miami-Dade, the average commute time is a half an hour. Is a half an hour, believe it or not. And in Palm Beach County, it's the shortest of the three counties at 27 minutes. Now, I can't imagine there's a lot of folks out there listening saying, I only wish I could have a half an hour commute. How could that possibly be the average in Miami-Dade or, for that matter, in Palm Beach County?
Well, if you go early enough.
Go ahead, Greg. Greg Stewart with the Broward MPO.
Thanks. You're aggregating all the trips, you know, and to come up with that type of number. So you have to look at it from that perspective. You know, we used to, 8-10 years ago here in Broward, we used to have this goal that we said you get anywhere in Broward in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't happen any longer. But, you know, the reality is to set that type of standard is very difficult. And you know, to Alice and Miami-Dade's credit, you know, with the SMART plan that they're coming up with the strategic corridors that they have identified, they're going to be able to, you know, someone like myself, if I was living near a corridor, I would be able to get to that corridor and get into downtown Miami in rapid speed to my job. You know, we're doing something similar to that here in Broward, looking at how our corridors will feed into an overall system to employment centers. So that way we can maybe lessen the amount of traffic that's out on the road. But, I mean, truthfully, and Alice hit it right on the head, it's the amount of savings that would be available to somebody if that we were actually making the appropriate investments in the public transportation system.
Valerie, for Palm Beach County, find that balance, though, that public savings that would require public investment in public transit versus, frankly, the private convenience that is almost embedded in our call culture DNA.
Honestly, I mean, I lived here and then I moved to Miami and I had a commute for 3 months, you know, and that cost of commuting, it was hundreds, thousands of dollars. And a lot of the people that I would get onto the turnpike or, you know, would be traveling with me the whole way down to Miami. But, you know, I had to move close to work in Miami, regardless, you know, of the cost. I just had to be close to work because it was just too much time in commuting. Up here in Palm Beach, I mean, we have congestion, you know, but compared to Miami, it's kind of a breeze up here. Most places it's free parking. You never really have to think about it.
She's rubbing it in a little bit. Yeah, right. You know? Rubbing it in a little bit from Palm Beach County.
I lived in Miami downtown for 2 years, and I had to actually commute for 3 months from Palm Beach County. And I'm excited about everything that Miami's doing, the SMART plan. You know, we're really looking forward to it. So I think it will help. And Well, we have to move in that direction.
Let's hear from the drivers and the riders. That's Valerie Nielsen with Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization. Greg Stewart heads up the Broward version of the MPO. He's along with us as well. Alice Bravo heads up the MDT, Miami-Dade Department of Transportation. Doug Hanks writes about county government for a partner of the Miami Herald. This is the Florida Roundup on a getaway holiday weekend, talking traffic, moving around, getting around South Florida. Let's begin in Coconut Creek, where Hannah is on the telephone. Hannah, you are on the radio. Go ahead. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I hear you guys talking about a lot about how much it would save us if we did public transportation and all that as opposed to vehicles. And I understand that everything is a balance, but I don't see any steps being taken to make public transportation safe, reliable, because sometimes the buses are running hours behind schedule, and convenient as in going places people need to go. What steps are you guys taking to make public transportation meet those things and thereby make it a viable alternative to a personal vehicle?
Hannah, great question. Alice Bravo, let's put it to you. Safe and reliable. Tackle those two first for Hannah and Coconut Creek.
Well, we're actually working to do all of those things. With regard to safety, we've increased the number of hours and added actually extra millions of dollars per year to our budget in order to enhance security. And with regard to reliability, we're doing quite a bit. We're actually replacing our entire Metrorail car fleet, which is original from early 1980s. So that's a $300 million project. And we're actually also acquiring 300 new buses that'll help us replace the older buses in our bus fleet.
And recently there's been a debate about some bus routes that have very few riders. And I think the Doug, help me out, I think it was the mayor that said it would be cheaper to provide each rider with an Uber than it would be to continue to pay for the cost and maintenance and operation of buses on some of these routes.
Well, as our revenue has declined along with the ridership, then it's important that we see where those ridership declines are and we cut back our service to keep our system
and
balanced.
You're open to those kind of changes in real time.
I think it's necessary for anybody that provides a service. Yeah. But I want to know that there are tools out there. The Miami-Dade Transit Tracker app mm-hmm. has a trip planning feature. It includes the municipal trolleys as part of your trip. It gives you the real-time information, the way Doug mentioned. And also, if you look at apps like Waze, they're starting to promote carpooling and matching people together. And when you talk to the companies like Uber and Lyft, they have the ride sharing programs, right. For example, Uber Pool. And they've told us that the number of times they have at least three people in the car has risen considerably. Mm. So people are getting used to this idea that they don't have to be alone in a car to get somewhere.
Greg Stewart, how about from your perspective in Broward County? Hannah mm-hmm. from Coconut Creek talking about convenience factor. And you hear that a lot. Sure, I'd consider public transit if it went to places where I wanted to go on the times that I wanted to take it.
And actually, Hannah's whole point is a great area of where we need to make the improvements that are necessary. The steps that we're doing here in Broward, whether it's Broward County Transit that's operated by the County Commission or Tri-Rail that's operated by a separate authority or even the community shuttle in Coconut Creek, there's apps that you actually have, and one of my favorite apps that I use is actually called Transit. And if you download that, it'll tell you, it knows exactly where you are, and it'll tell you what services are available and how long you'll have to wait and where those services are. Everything from a Broward County bus to the Tri-Rail train and the connections in between. And then I also use that when I go down to Miami-Dade. But it's going to take some time to get there. You know, I believe the Broward County Commission is going to be going after another penny sales tax maybe in 2018 to help better define the transit system. Broward actually is operating about 300 buses a day, where Miami-Dade, I think you're up at 900 to 1,000. I can't remember, Alice. You'll have to...
Close to 900.
Yeah. So you have to look at that. And our population's about 1.9 million up here. So really what we need to do is make those enhancements that are necessary to provide the connections to the regional system, which I would look to Tri-Rail to serve that. So if I lived in Coconut Creek like Hannah does, I'd be looking at the system itself and then... You know, Hannah, I really encourage you to go to BrowardMPO.org, look at our website, send us some suggestions, see what we're working on, the different plans, multimodal plans that we have, and we're always looking for public input to understand what the demands are and then what we can do better.
We're going to hear some more about Broward County with, let me get to Anthony in Hollywood. Anthony, you are on the Florida Roundup talking transit. Welcome. You're on the radio.
Hey, wow, way overdue, about time. It's absurd to drive here. And you know what? It's sad. You guys seem to blame the motorists for that and not look at yourselves for culpability. Let's just look at public transportation that you were talking about. It takes way too long. It's going to take me the same amount of time to get there as it is in my car. And I have the privacy of listening to recordings or preparing myself. I'm a 55-year-old guy. I'm going to stand in a suit with the briefcase in the steaming sun waiting for a bus to arrive. Half the times those buses go nowhere. You don't even have a tri-rail system that takes me to the airport. Two major airports, no way to go. It's so outdated, it's ridiculous. It's a joke for you to even expect us to potentially use it. The life cycles haven't changed in years. You've allowed growth to happen, and the life cycles, well, it's a county road, well, it's a state road, and you're not even in communication. If those life cycles change to reflect the amount of traffic flow, maybe that would work out. You have a public transport system, so it's just maybe there's a moratorium on growth thing that has to happen. When you do studies, maybe it's like, well, look, how are we going to accommodate these one-person-per-driver cars? We can't build it. I live in Hollywood, as I suggested. They allowed Margaritaville, two-lane highways, A1A, one in and out, and two exits. Have you ever got off at Miami Gardens Drive where Turnberry is overgrown?
Yep.
How about Brickell Avenue?
Anthony, we've obviously touched a vein here for you, and you're uncorked, and we get it. Now, let me ask you this, though, Anthony. You've got three of the top transportation officials listening to you right now and listening to your laundry list of criticisms. What is your number one priority? What is your suggestion for number one priority that they take back to their folks?
Okay, watch this. Listen carefully. I don't want to get on the freeway and all of a sudden say, holy Christ, I'm trapped here. I can't get off this. Why not have some sort of warning on it like, this is jammed. Don't get on.
Okay, so fair warning. So how about that? Let's talk about that here then. Some kind of early traffic warning system is something that Anthony is calling for. Valerie, how about that in Palm Beach County? It may not necessarily fall to the MPO, or the agency you're with, but would more signage... I suppose that's what Anthony's looking for, more active, dynamic signage.
I guess when we're driving on the expressways, we see, you know, signs that say average commute time on usually on I-95, that sort of thing, you know, like 13 minutes, 20 minutes. And it's tricky because a lot of people use Waze, but, you know, it's not really recommended or safe to be looking at your phone or an app while you're driving. But most people use apps like that, you know, pop up like a notice, like, hey, there's an accident up ahead or whatnot. It's funny going back to the transit app and the reliability and convenience factor. I mean, Greg mentioned transit app, and I use that as well. And I it's for me, I use that to plan my trip because first I use maps and look at what's the traffic going to be like. And then I look at Transit App, which works across all transit agencies in our region and around in most urban areas around the world. But it gives me my options. So I can say I want to arrive by this time or I want to leave at this time. And it walks me through every step and it gives me all my options, including Uber and an estimated cost. So, I mean, it's really user friendly.
Valerie, you've changed your behavior. Greg has changed his behavior to have that transit app be one of the first places you look before you step outside the door. But to Anthony's point and to millions in South Florida, Doug Hanks, the first thing we do is grab our car keys before we go out the door and then stick the cell phone, you know, up in the cup holder, for instance, as we sit down and pull onto I-95 or the Palmetto or the Turnpike.
Correct. And, you know, intense traffic does drive demand into transit. So, you know, there's a reason that the subway is so popular in New York because parking is so expensive, cost of automobile ownership is so high. But there's been a lot of talk of the smart plan and a lot of talk of, like, why aren't people doing anything? Well, one thing to keep in mind is correct me if I'm wrong, but there has not been one hard decision made yet for the smart plan.
Now, the smart plan is a plan for six separate extensions of Metrorail in Miami-Dade County.
Well, it's rapid transit, but yes, the current Alice's
version
department
of it
has
is rail,
a scenario.
But it could be bus,
it's six
too.
Rail lines. It could be light rail. It could be things.
Okay,
but it's but you know that is essentially what voters were promised in 2002 when they increased the 0.5% sales tax, and the county has not yet produced anything to say this is how we could build one corridor. So doing that is going to require some very tough decisions, I think. I think that someone somewhere is going to have to say, we're going to be able to do this for the next 10 years and not that. And I'd be interested to know, when is that moment coming? Or do you think that's correct, Alice? Am I characterizing that properly?
Well, I think we've made a very important decision because for the first time through our TPO, which used to be the MPO.
Right, the Transportation Planning Organization.
About a year ago, we were able to have a consensus vote of the over 20 members on that board that the SMART plan was going to be the top priority for our community, which included six of these rapid transit corridors plus express bus routes. And why is that important? Because until you had that consensus vote that says we need all six of these corridors, then we really don't have a community-wide plan. And we had what we had prior to that, which was some folks vying for a corridor here and other people vying for a corridor in their part of the town. So voting on this means we need all of these projects, and that's why we're moving forward simultaneously with the documentation that we need in order to qualify for federal and state funding. And the state funding is very, very important. The Florida Department of Transportation has funding set aside specifically for these types of transit projects, and they're working very closely with us. And then, since we've said we need all of them, how do we implement them? We implement them as they're ready. And the development of the financial plan will dictate how quickly we can implement the corridors.
I want to ask all three of our transportation folks what their number one priority is. And the SMART plan, is, as you've spoken, Alice, in Dade County, has become a priority, and how to go about doing that. But I want to get a couple more phone calls in here. For instance, Enrique is joining us from Sunny Isles. Enrique, you are on the Florida Roundup. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
It's a very, very important issue for me. I'm a realtor in Sunny Isles, and I drive a lot, and I suffer a lot with this traffic nightmare. And let me tell you, the caller before is right on point, Anthony, and it's pathetic to hear what the city officials have to say. They have no interest whatsoever on the biggest lobbyist group that there is, which is us, the taxpayers, the people that come up with the money for their salary every single year. And all they care, and so far, in 25 years that I've been living here, the only improvement that I've seen in public transportation is the express lane, which is more money for the county and more hassle for everybody that is driving on the streets.
Well,
it's just unbelievable to hear that we have to rely on an app, on a service that is completely obsolete, completely unreliable. The Tri-Rail is a joke.
Enrique,
it's a one lane that goes up and down. And if there is an accident in there, you will be stuck on the Tri-Rail for hours in the middle of nowhere with no option until you can move from there. Until that car is removed from the rail, then you'll be there forever. So it's completely, completely absurd to be listening to these people and thinking that we're living in paradise. Have 900 buses on our city that has almost 3 million people is just ridiculous.
Enrique, let me ask the same question that I asked Anthony then. You've got the ear of all three of the transportation officials in the three counties here. What's your number one suggestion?
My number one suggestion is start listening to the people that really come up with the money for your salary, which is
what are you saying
then?
Yes, so they're listening right now, Enrique.
Okay, so the very first thing is we don't want to be in cars. We don't want to be stuck in traffic. We want public transportation. We want a rail that will take us from somewhere that we need to go, from somewhere that we need to leave from.
Enrique,
we don't have any public transportation reliable.
Okay.
From nowhere in Miami.
Let me ask you a question, if I could. This is a reporter at the Herald. Would you pay higher property taxes for that, or would you pay higher sales tax for that?
How could we leave before we had the express lanes? How much, you're a reporter on the Miami Herald, how much revenue the express lanes brought last year alone? In tourism money, this city last year alone made $12.5 billion, more than New York City. So you got tons of money. You got plenty of money. Just the money's going on the wrong hands.
So these people
are getting paid astronomical salaries every single year, and we're not seeing a dime out of it. The money is going to the CEOs, Department of Transportation.
We'll interpret your answer to Doug's question as none. I don't think you're ready to pay any additional money that you think that there's...
Exactly.
I got you. We got it. Thanks, Enrique. We appreciate that. I want to squeeze in one more call from Miami Beach. Christian is on the radio. Hello, Christian. Welcome to the Florida Roundup.
Hi, thank you. There's one word I have not heard yet. I might have missed it, but are you guys in your plan doing anything to encourage the old-fashioned carpooling? Because with modern technology, social networking and GPS, I believe there's a way to get maybe 5% of people to share rides when they know who they're going to share the ride with.
All right.
That makes sense?
Christian, yeah, makes sense. Let's put it, let's begin up in Palm Beach. Valerie, how about it? Carpooling, where does it fit into the overall transportation planning for Palm Beach County?
So actually, it's funny you bring that up because right now during this month, South Florida Commuter Services, which works under DOT for our both of our districts down to Miami, actually put out an app to actually help match you with carpool rides for where you're going or what kind of folks you'd like to match with. It's called Ride Flag, but there's a commuter challenge going on right now for that. So, you know, I think we're going to see more of that. And then also, you know, with carpooling and Uber, more people are doing Uber Pool and that sort of thing as well. But there's actually is an app out there that is trying to be promoted to encourage people to carpool. But I just wanted to say also that, you know, we definitely hear you. I think times are changing, but sometimes change takes time. So, you know, the smart plan is going to be huge. But also, like, the transit app that we mentioned, that's the real-time information is just, like, Tri-Rail just got into that. I mean, our whole region has real-time now with that.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned earlier, PalmTran is going to be doing a redesign of their system that they haven't done in 20 years. And then we'll have to really advertise that and make transit be friendly and attractive again, raise that awareness because it has such a bad stigma, you know, and people know that it's unreliable and inefficient. So, you know, times are changing. So I think there's hope on the horizon.
Greg Stewart, Broward County, carpooling.
That's actually one of our bigger programs, working not only with South Florida Commuter Services, but actually the Broward Alliance and all of their partners. We actually work with the private businesses and say, okay, you know, can you do a geographic database of your employees and find out where they're closely related, and then that way they can actually get a car share in to their employment areas. We also try to encourage the larger employers like Microsoft Latin America and Citrix, just is out my window, and they actually do off-hour, you know, employment, so that way people don't have to come in during rush hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
They do, you know, off-site where people can work at home a couple of days out of the week. So we're really looking at ways to mitigate the traffic impacts. But, you know, listening to what Anthony said down in Hollywood, what we're hearing from the folks down there in Miami, you know, there's a frustration on how things have been prioritized. And, you know, all three of us work very hard to actually figure out to get ahead of things. But we have to work in 5-year increments. So what Alice is doing today down in Miami-Dade, you know, it's going to take 5 years before you start seeing these real improvements happen to the system.
Greg, our time is limited, and I want to circle back around the prioritization, but I want to hear Alice Bravo, Miami-Dade, and carpooling.
Well, definitely we're part of Ride Flag. We work with the South Florida Commuter Services. As I mentioned, Waze now has a carpooling, and they're working it on employers so that people can know each other and have that same destination. And it's really important, the Uber, Lyft, and pool type carpooling services that they provide. For example, if people can carpool on Uber Pool to a Metrorail station, now we freed up more parking spaces at the station for other people to ride the rail, and we can increase our ridership. And something important to note is that we're working together regionally. We've created an app, Easy Pay, to replace our fare card system, and we're working with Broward County, Palm Beach County, and Tri-Rail, so
have
that
it
we
accepted
have
across
a unified
transportation organization.
App.
All right. Prioritization has come up. We will put that to our three transportation officials coming up. Doug Hanks with the Miami Herald also is with us. Stick with us. It's Getting Around South Florida on the Florida Roundup, a holiday getaway weekend. We continue after this. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on WLRN, talking transit for the full hour on this getaway Friday for the Memorial Day weekend. Be safe out there. Speaking with three top transportation officials in Miami-Dade County, Alice Bravo is along with us, Greg Stewart with Broward, and Valerie Nielsen with Palm Beach. Mr. Stewart, Ms. Nielsen are with the Metropolitan Planning Organizations for their respective counties, also alongside Doug Hanks covering county government for our partner, the Miami Herald. All right, let's talk about prioritization. We'll start in the middle, Greg. You're sandwiched between Palm Beach and Dade County. You've got border relations for both of them here. What is your priority for transportation for the Metropolitan Planning Organization in Broward County?
We actually have it's a three-legged stool for us. We have to take care of our roadway networks, number one. That is their number one priority in getting things done, because even our bus system is operating on our roadways.
Does that mean expansion?
It's expansion. We're talking about potential overpasses in certain locations. We're actually looking at ways to increase the traffic flow on our existing facilities. You know, right now down in Hollywood, we've been widening State Road 7, something that we advanced funded 12 years in advance. 595 in the center part of the county, we ended up doing that. That's 25 years ahead of schedule. We're actually doing things that will actually connect the commuters that use cars. Up at the Sawgrass Expressway currently ends at the Turnpike. We're expanding that to 95.
Give us your two other legs of your stool. And I'm sorry, Greg, for hurrying you along, but I want to get everybody in here.
Time's limited,
I know.
We have a transit system that we're looking to actually put into the ground. It's the start of a light rail system starting in downtown Fort Lauderdale. It's called the WAVE. It's 2.7 miles, but ultimately it will turn out to be about a 35-mile system that will connect the central employment areas out to the suburbs in Broward. And then finally, we're really looking at trying to have Tri-Rail and Brightline services on both tracks, the CSX and FEC, because that's where we're hoping to encourage the folks that are going through the Tri-County commutes through Broward will start being able to use that system.
Palm Beach County, Valerie Nielsen, your prioritizations.
Sure. So actually, we recently passed last year a complete streets policy. We're really focusing on providing a connected network and a safe network for all users, encouraging that mode split, enabling people to safely access transit and take other modes. So in some cases, we're even looking at road diets to be able to provide safe facilities and convenient, comfortable facilities for all users. I mentioned that PalmTran is going to be starting on this conversation on this journey of the redesign effort that they haven't done of their system in 20 years, and that's going to be a conversation taken to the public and to the Board of County Commissioners based on how much do we want to dedicate towards ridership, direct routes that take you to the attractions, to the places you want to go, and coverage, which, goes around everywhere in every corner of the county. So that's a conversation that's going to be taking place later this year and next year, so we're looking forward to that.
Alice Bravo in Miami-Dade, you've mentioned that the SMART plan has been a prioritization. What's the prioritization within that?
Well, obviously, we want to improve mobility in Miami-Dade County and in the region. And now that together with FDOT, we're kicking off the public involvement phase on all six corridors of the SMART plan, what's important is that we're going to work with the public and evaluate solutions to find the most cost-effective and best solution for each one of those corridors so we can finish putting our financial framework together and see which projects we can start delivering right away. On a short-term basis, we're also working to improve signalization throughout the county. We're starting with 300 smart adaptive signals, and where we have tested that system out already, we get a 10% time savings going through those corridors.
Speaking of traffic signal synchronization, let's go back to the phones. Pompano Beach, Thomas has a question about traffic lights. Thomas, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for having me. I don't understand how you can drive down every major road in this city, and you get stoplight after stoplight after a minute, 1 minute, from one stoplight to another, it's 400 yards. So one light will turn green, and then we go up, and then the next light turns red.
Okay.
For 2 minutes.
Yep.
And you go up for another 400 yards.
Yep.
Why is that? And can they explain why that happens? Because it just doesn't make sense that
it belies logic, doesn't it, Thomas? It belies logic. Yeah, absolutely. Got it.
Every person here listening to this understands.
Absolutely. When you're sitting at one red light and the next one in front of you is already green. In Pompano Beach, Greg, what about traffic lights? Who's responsible for it up there?
In Broward County government, the county commission actually operates the traffic light system. However, together we've been investing tens of millions of dollars into the adaptive system, similar to what Alice was talking about doing in Miami-Dade. It's just started. The investments have just started as we came out of the economic slump. So I just asked Thomas to just hold on. I'm one of those lucky people that always get stuck behind every red light as well.
A lot of patience being asked for. Greg, I want to get Allison here as well on synchronization in Miami-Dade County.
Well, less than a year ago, we debuted our new traffic management center. We've connected all the signals there. We're redoing the timing of all the corridors to improve that synchronization so everybody can hit as many green lights as possible. And with that, we've for example, in the US 1 corridor, the northbound direction got a 12-minute time savings between 152nd Street and 17th Avenue as you approach downtown. And with adaptive signals, we can get a 10% savings on top of that.
Valerie, Palm Beach County, who's responsible up there for the traffic signals?
The county engineering department actually handles the traffic signals, and they have a huge operation there going. But it's interesting you bring that up, because as we're doing this giant 42-mile US 1 multimodal corridor study, that has been one of the main complaints that folks from the public have been complaining about is the traffic signal. So that's something that we're looking at and working with them.
And we're not going to have enough time. We're going to do short shrift on it here. But what about law enforcement, Alice, and double parking and, left turn lanes and blocking the box? Would more law enforcement, just more traffic cops on intersections during rush hour help?
I think that's a double-edged sword, because when you pull somebody over to give them a ticket, that obviously creates a disruption as well. But in case of the adaptive signals, if a left turn bay is backing up and blocking a through lane, well, the adaptive signal will help us clear those cars through so we can regain that throughput of the capacity. And something else important about the adaptive signals is that it also starts laying the infrastructure we need as autonomous and connected vehicles start coming into play, that we're laying the framework for that.
Greg, how about law enforcement, blocking the box, double parking, right turn lanes?
Again, I'm going to go with the double-edged sword on that, because if you do have the enforcement mechanism in place, you end up creating more traffic, ironically. The adaptive signalization and vehicle-to-vehicle communication is the important key.
Okay.
And then that ties back to actually what Valerie was saying on what we're calling road narrowings and diets. We've been doing that here in Broward now for the last 5 years. But these vehicles are actually, because of the communication systems, are going to be able to pass each other within 2 inches.
Our light is turning green here, so we've got to go while this intersection's clear here, Greg. We appreciate your time. Greg Stewart is the head of the Metropolitan Planning Organization in Broward County. Valerie Nielsen is with the Palm Beach Metropolitan Planning Organization. And Alice Bravo heads up the Miami-Dade Department of Transportation and Public Works. Doug Hanks with the Miami Herald. Thanks to all four of you today. So that'll do it for the Florida Roundup here on this Memorial Day holiday weekend. The program is produced by Bridget O'Brien. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontato is our digital director. Our news director, Terrence Shepard. Alicia Zuckerman is our editorial director. And Peter J. Meritz is our program director here at WLRN. Our technical supervisor today is Jason Zabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks so much for all the callers. Thanks for the texts. Thanks for the tweets. Thanks to our guests. Thanks for listening. Have a great holiday weekend and drive safely.